Welcome back to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. The nation's farmers are growing older. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, for each American farmer younger than 25, there are five who are 75 or older. In the radio series and television documentary Changing Lands, Changing Hands, Harvest Public Media is exploring what this trend means for the future of agriculture. SDPB Radio is airing the Harvest Public Media reports all this week, and SDPB TV airs the documentary Friday evening. Harvest Public Media is a reporting collaboration of several Midwest public broadcasting stations, including NET in Nebraska. NET reporter-producer Grant Gerlach hosts the Changing Lands, Changing Hands television documentary, and he joins us on the line. Grant, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Well, what led to Harvest Public Media's team to this exploration of aging American farmers?
Well, this trend of farmers becoming older has been going on for a while, really for decades. In the late 70s, the average farmer was 50 years old. In the ag census that came out in 2007, the average farmer was 57. And so this is a trend that's been going on, and a growing number of those farmers are over 65. From between 2002 and 2007, farmers over 65 years old increased 18%. On the flip side, farmers under 45 years old declined 14%. And so we wanted to look at this issue before the next ag census comes out. Next year, they're putting the numbers together now. To take a look at the situation now before we find out, are there more young farmers coming in or not?
In the series, do you address at all why farmers older than 65, why that's the fastest growing group?
Yeah. There are a few reasons that more farmers are continuing to work longer. One is technology. The tractors are better, the other farm equipment is better, the planters, the sprayers, everything is less labor-intensive to use. The genetics are better, the herbicides are better. It all means that one person can do more work, and it's less strenuous than it was in the past, and so people are able to continue working later in life. Another reason is the farm economy. People are, especially now, making more money at farming than they were have been for a really long time. And so if you've been doing this a long time and building this business, these are boom times, and why would you want to give it up now? This is the most fun you can have, farming and making money. And the other thing is that farmers tend to, it seems, really form an identity around their work. You know, doing this work, being on the land, really becomes part of who farmers are and how they identify themselves, and a big part of what it means to be on the farm for them. So, and that's not something they want to give up or give up easily.
One of the farmers profiled in Changing Lands, Changing Hands is one of the older farmers, a guy in his 80s, Bob Hawthorne. And one of the things that he talks about is that there are people who just can't wait for him to retire so they can get the land. It almost sounds like he feels like they're vultures just waiting for him to die.
That's what he observes. He feels and he knows that his neighbors are watching him. Bob is 84 years old. He's been farming for 60 years about, and is farming a fourth generation farm in western Iowa. The unusual thing about him is he doesn't have anyone lined up to take over for him. So this 2,000-acre corn and soybean farm is sort of out there, and I think the neighbors understand it's sort of up for grabs. And so he feels that he feels some pressure to sort of come to a decision. But at this point, he is happy to keep farming it himself. He has some help seasonally during planting and harvest season, but for the most part, it's just Bob, and so it's just kind of a big question: what will happen to this farm?
In talking about Bob Hawthorne, a farmer there without children who can take over the farm for younger generations, is that traditionally how new farmers get started, that they are part of the family that is just passed down from generation to generation?
Yeah, most often that's what happens to the land, and that's what happens to the farm. Most land is passed down within the family. Most farms continue by passing it down to a child. So if you're someone who wants to farm, the easiest way to get into it is if you have that family connection, whether it's through a parent or an aunt or an uncle, some kind of family connection to get your foot in the door. That's the most common way and the easiest way for people to get started. If you don't have that family connection, you face some really big obstacles, considering the price of land and the price of equipment and the difficulty accessing credit through banks. It's a difficult thing to get into.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting, and we're talking reporter and producer Grant Gerlach, who hosts the Changing Lands, Changing Hands television documentary, which airs on Friday evening on SDPB-TV, and all this week on SDPB Radio. We're airing the Harvest Public Media reports on Changing Lands, Changing Hands. Grant, is it still you're talking about the younger farmers, the new generation passing down the farmland? Are there young people who want to take over the family business? It seems like in the past the goal of young farm families, the kids, was to get off the land.
Yeah, I think that's something I heard. It used to be that one of the people in the program says it used to be the goal of families to see how many kids they could get off the farm. I think in some ways that's changing or reversing. There are more young people who do want to farm. They don't always want to do it the same way. One trend among young farmers is to look for a different way to run their business, either to maybe farm organic, to have a small vegetable farm, or do grass-fed beef. To find an unconventional way to go about it, and that can sometimes, if they're smaller, that can make it easier for them to access land. But it can also sometimes create conflicts. If you're a young farmer and you're renting land that owns to other family members, not everybody. It could be that not everybody agrees on the direction that young farmer is taking things. They may prefer to see it be a conventional production farm, corn and soybean farm. And so you can end up with situations where it could be the family farm, but not everybody agrees on how to run it in the future. And those are difficult situations for families to work through. And I think it's something that a lot of families have to deal with.
And even just the basic day-to-day operations, I imagine, cause some problems. There's a farm family that is featured in Changing Lands, Changing Hands in the TV documentary, Riley and Kelly Skirdlent, a father and son. And in watching the documentary, it didn't sound like they have any big philosophical differences about what to plant. That's sort of, it's just sort of just being a father and son in business together. And as the father starts to give more responsibility to the son, that just creates some problems there.
Yeah, just because you decide that you want to farm with your child doesn't mean that it's easy. You still have to figure out who's in charge of making different decisions, and that's a difficult transition for a lot of farmers to make. They're used to working on their own in most cases, so bringing this new person in who might have new ideas, perhaps updated ideas on how things are done, can create tension. The father and son you're referring to are Kelly and Riley Skirdlent. They live in south central Nebraska, and Kelly is the father. He's in his early 60s. Riley, the son, is in his early 30s. And they're sort of, going by the seat of their pants, sort of making it up as they go. And that can be good and that can be bad. In some cases, families who do that find out they don't work that well together. The Skirdlets seem to be doing pretty well. But in most cases, people who work in this area say that families need to sit down and come up with a specific plan about how the farm will be run as a business and to treat each other as partners in this business, and to try to separate the family aspects from the business aspects. And in their experience, that generally leads to better outcomes.
One of the changes, one of the trends that we see in farming, you touched upon this, and it's covered in Changing Lands, Changing Hands in the television documentary, is alternative farmers. They just have a few acres growing vegetables, I think mostly for farmers markets and that sort of thing.
Yeah, one of the, where you see the increase in farms, a lot of that is among small farms. Yeah, exactly like you said. Small organic vegetable farms for CSAs or for farmers markets. And that's an area where the upfront costs are still significant, but they aren't nearly as steep or hard to overcome as, you know, starting a big farm where, you know, just a quarter land can be over $1 million. If you're just doing a couple acres for a vegetable farm, that's much more manageable. And that's a lot of ways, that's the way that a lot of young farmers are coming into it.
With so many farmers older than 65, are we entering a period where a lot of farmland is changing hands or about to change hands?
Yeah, that's what many of the estimates say. Although it seems that people are holding on to the land even longer than people might have thought. One example is in Iowa, where the amount of land being held by people over 75 has been increasing. And that just goes to show how much owning that land means to individuals and families. It's really something that is more than just a business asset. It really means something to a family's identity and an individual's identity, and it's something they really plan on holding on to as long as they can.
So even for families that maybe a generation or two have removed from actively farming that land, they're still part of holding onto that land, and it could stay in the family for a while yet.
It could, but I think the way land prices are right now, it gives them a tough decision. Another family that we feature in the program is the Fogelsong family in Nebraska, and they had the family farm, but no one in the family was farming it anymore. And they looked at current land prices, and they determined that this was a good time to sell. And that's sort of hard to argue with. One of the pieces of land sold for more than $10,000 per acre, and so they made a windfall off the selling the farm that day. The land isn't in the family anymore, but they have you know, the money to show for it, and they can use it in a different way among the family members. So, you know, people who own the land but they're not farming it anymore, they have to decide whether they want to continue to lease it out or whether it's time to sell.
Of course, land prices fluctuate, so things could change down the road.
They can always change, yeah. And there have been some predictions that land prices could go down a bit. I think we're still waiting to see that.
Will it, you know, what's, and when we look to the future and the older farmers and all the issues that we've been covering, does it, what does all this mean for the future of agriculture in the country? Will it look a lot different in 10 or more years?
Yeah, a couple questions. Will there be young people coming in, and to what extent, and where will they be? And will there be this trend continuing where the big farms are getting bigger and we're seeing more small farms, but we're losing the sort of traditional mid-sized farms? And as you lose those farms, you tend to also lose the people, and that has implications for rural communities who have already been seeing a loss of population. You know, more big farms, there's still that economic activity going on, but with fewer people, there may be other forms of economic impacts when you lose those people in those towns.
There have been efforts in South Dakota and other states to recruit younger farmers. As you mentioned, if you're not part of a farm family, it's just almost impossible to get started in farming. Do you see that there are plenty of young people who would like to get into farming, that this isn't just something that we see as, well, it's just the older generation, and when they die out, there won't be any farmers, that there are plenty of young people who want to get in the business?
Well, that's what we heard. We heard that there is enough interest, and there are programs that are trying to sort of guide them through that process. There are some programs that people can look for if they're interested that will partner a young person who's interested in farming with an established farmer and try to sort of recreate that sort of family relationship, to create a situation where this person is involved with this established farmer and they can develop a plan for transitioning it in the future. And that's sort of a way to, you know, create connections where they don't exist and where people are interested in bringing someone new in to get the people there who can take over and who are interested in taking over.
Harvest Public Media continuing to work on these issues. Other reports and series coming up, other parts of farming that the team is looking into for future reports?
Yeah, we're working on a discussion program focused more on rural communities and some things that rural communities can do to attract people and businesses, or hold on to the people and businesses they have. And we're always looking for other people's stories, if they have stories about their family and what they're doing with the land, or what their family is facing as they go through this transition. We'd always love to hear about it.
Well, Grant, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us on Dakota Midday and tell us a little bit about Changing Lands, Changing Hands.
Glad to do it.
That's reporter, producer Grant Gerlach, and he hosts the Harvest Public Media television documentary Changing Lands, Changing Hands. It airs Friday evening on SDPB-TV at 9 Central, 8 Mountain. The Changing Lands, Changing Hands radio reports air on SDPB Radio during Morning Edition and All Things Considered. You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Coming up after a short break, we'll talk with the directors of the Dakota Sky International Piano Festival, which is bringing some of the world's foremost pianists and educators to Sioux Falls.